How's it going? Good, good. Kids, hello. Come on, kids. Come on. Show me those hands. Wave them. Wave them. Okay, and give me a big hello on three. One, two, three.
Hello.
Yeah, you're with me. Good. So I'm going to need your help throughout this sermon. We're all going to learn together. So from all of the wee ones all to the elderly ones, we're all in this together. And I'd love to invite the ushers forward right now for a time of giving. And this is, you know, if you're visiting, if you're new to Christianity, this is something we do. It's kind of just a normal part of being a family together as a church. And we give a portion of what we've received back to the Lord in thankfulness to him. And so I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for our time together. We're going to open up God's word. We're going to look at another story about Jesus and his good friend Peter, and something that happened in their lives, two different stories in their lives. And so we're just going to pray and ask God to speak to us. So God, I thank you so much. I thank you so much for children. I thank you for your heart for children and for those that tender moment that we read about in Scripture where you welcome children to yourself. And Lord, today we're asking that you would once again welcome the kids to yourself, that they would know you, that they would be blessed by you today through the music, as we open up the word. God, I pray that they will come to know you in a deeper way, that all of us will. And Holy Spirit, that you'll move in the room as we open up your word. We thank you and love you. Amen. Okay. So we're going to look at Jesus, and we're going to look at Peter, and I want to begin by telling you a few stories from my own childhood / teenage years, because all the youth, you're here with us as well. We're so pumped you're with us. So these few stories kind of took place when I was in middle school and early high school. Three quick stories. Number one, I was once playing basketball, and I took the ball, dribbled it down the court the wrong way, and took a shot on my own net. Boo. I once liked a girl so much that I asked her to be my girlfriend, and then for 3 weeks I didn't talk to her because I was so nervous. Boo again. And number three, I once tried to do a backflip on a trampoline in grade 7 because there were a bunch of cool kids watching, and I told them I knew how to do one, even though I had never done one, and I only made it halfway, landed on my head / neck, didn't work out, and the cool kids just walked away. So sad. Here's my question. I want to ask you this. What do you think I wanted after each and every one of those moments? What do you think I wanted? A second, a clause? Applause. Yeah, applause maybe. Yeah. A second chance. That's what I was going for. A second chance, a do-over, a redo, something. Have you ever wanted a do-over? An opportunity for a second chance? Do you wish you could go back in time and rewrite your story? So maybe let's take this a little bit deeper. Are you carrying with you today through these doors some shame or sadness for something you've done in your past? Are you carrying some shame or sadness for how you behaved? Maybe how you treated someone? For the mistake that you made? Have you ever wanted a do-over? Let me ask it this way. Have you ever wanted an undo button for your life? You just kind of walk around and it would just be attached to you somehow. Kind of gross, but just undo, undo, undo. I got to take that back. It's Command Z on a Mac, for all of you Mac people. How many of you want to just Command Z your life on occasion? Undo something. Well, today, here's the deal. We are going to listen to the lowest point. I believe it's his lowest point, the lowest point in Peter's life. Peter, as some of you might know, he's a follower. He's a disciple of Jesus. He's been with Jesus for over 3 years. He loves Jesus and Jesus loves him. But today we're going to be with Peter on one of the most shameful moments, in one of the most shameful moments of his life. Today we're with Peter on the worst day of his life, the day he denied knowing Jesus. It's a day where he wanted a do-over and wished more than anything in the world that he could just hit the undo button. And so we pick up our story right after Jesus is arrested. Peter is in the high priest's courtyard. He's been taken inside to be interrogated. And a young girl, a servant girl, sees Peter and asks this in verse 17. "You aren't one of this man's disciples too, are you?" she asked Peter. He replied, "I'm not. I'm not." Peter denies knowing Jesus. But you know that Peter and Jesus are best friends. They're tight. Tighter than a pair of hipster jeans. Super tight. So this is very sad. Peter is denying one of his best friends. And he does it three times. You know that all he wanted to do at that point was to crawl back into bed, change his name, join the witness protection program, move out of town, delete his Facebook profile. He wanted to hit that undo button, Command Z, three times. Now, here's the deal. You got to remember how awesome Peter was. Please remember that. This story does not make sense if you do not know how close Peter and Jesus were and how awesome Peter was. If you'll remember, Peter's the one who was walking on water. He had faith in Jesus. If you'll remember, he's the one who refuses to leave when Jesus' teaching gets tough in John 6. In John 13, Jesus is going to wash his disciples' feet. And when Peter finds out that he can get a full cleaning from Jesus, he wants it. He hears that Jesus is going to have to die. And what does he do? He says, "Never, Lord. I'll never let that happen." In John 18, he defends Jesus with a sword. And in our passage today, I want you to know this. You know, even though he denies Jesus, where are the other disciples? Most of them, other than one other mysterious disciple, have left. Peter's the one who follows Jesus. He refuses to let Jesus be a prisoner alone, to get beat up alone. He's not going to let that happen. So he's going to go with Jesus because he loves Jesus. So you got to know, Peter is awesome. Don't forget that. And remember that Jesus loved Peter a ton, so much. Do you remember the moment when Jesus changed Peter's name? Kids, I want you to shout out. Do you remember Peter's old name? What's his old name? Can you yell it? Nice and loud. Simon. Simon, that's right. Good job. Simon. His old name was Simon. But you know what Peter means? It means rock. It means rocky. Jesus said, you're no longer Simon, you're Rocky, right? You're strong. That's pretty awesome. Remember, Jesus loved Peter. So that's why this story is so hard to understand. Why did Peter deny knowing Jesus? Why did Peter deny his best friend? And what makes the story harder is that the very moment Peter is denying Jesus, Jesus is in a room right next door being interrogated. Jesus is being questioned by men that do not like him. At the very moment Peter denies Jesus, Jesus is on trial. Now, here's what you need to know. Jesus is on trial by a guy named Annas. Annas the high priest. I want to tell you a little bit about Annas the high priest. Annas was the high priest in Israel from about AD 6 to 15. Why is that important? Well, I want you to know that because Annas was the high priest when Jesus was a kid. So when Jesus was growing up in Israel, Annas was in charge. He was the high priest. Annas was in charge. Every time Jesus and his family traveled to the city of Jerusalem to celebrate one of the big festivals in Israel. And this happened numerous times in a year. So Annas, just so you know, like in our day, he's like the head honcho pastor. He's like the top pastor over the pastors who are over pastors and who are over a bunch of other pastors. Okay? He's like the big cheese, as it were. Do you kids remember Pastor Rob from the church? Like him. The big cheese. Okay? Every year, Jesus' family would take at least one big road trip. So they'd load up the family van and they'd say, okay, here we're on our way to Jerusalem. So it'd either be like a big minivan or an SUV. And, you know, Jesus was probably watching DVDs in the SUV. Just joking, he wasn't. He walked, kids. He walked. So next time you're arguing about what you're going to watch in the minivan, just remember, Jesus walked. Parents, you're welcome. You can use that one. Anyway, back to Annas. Even though his son-in-law Caiaphas is actually the high priest, you actually need to know Annas is actually probably still the powerful voice behind the scenes, behind the throne, as it were. He was still very much in charge. But Annas was a shady guy. He was known for power, for wealth, and for greed. So, Annas, the high priest, is challenging Jesus at night. This is a police interrogation. This is what we call a kangaroo court. Now, kids, I know a kangaroo court sounds awesome. Kangaroo lawyers, kangaroo judge. It'd be amazing. Anyway, that's not what it is. Here's a kangaroo court. This is a definition. It's a mock court in which the principles of law and justice are disregarded or perverted. So it's a joke, really. Jesus is being interrogated, and it's illegal. You see, in Jesus' day in Israel, here's what should have happened. A judge was supposed to ask for witnesses, call some witnesses forward, hear from them. And if two or more witnesses agreed, then there could be a verdict. But I want you to listen to what happens when Jesus is standing by himself in front of Annas the high priest. We'll look at verses 19 and 21. Meanwhile, the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. "I've spoken openly to the world," Jesus replied. "I always taught in synagogues or at the temple where all the Jews come together. I said nothing in secret. Why question me? Ask those who heard me. Surely they know what I said." So, does Annas ask for any witnesses? The answer is no. No. Not at all. This is illegal. This is a joke. Jesus says, "Ask those who heard me. Surely they know what I said." So Jesus is pointing out that the trial is illegal. It's not a trial. You see, Annas may want Jesus to be a false prophet. Just so you guys know, probably what he's trying to get at, probably what he's trying to do in this moment, is make Jesus a false prophet. He's trying to convict Jesus of secretly enticing the people, secretly deceiving the people. And if you'll read Deuteronomy chapter 13, you'll see that the punishment is death for a false prophet. This is what Annas is trying to do. But Jesus says, "Listen, I always taught in synagogues or at the temple where all the Jews come together. I said nothing in secret." He's not a secret guy kind of deceiving the people. So here's the deal. Here's the truth. There's no evidence. There's no witness. Jesus hasn't been deceitful. So Annas, the high priest, has got nothing on Jesus. But instead, look at verse 22. This is what happens. When Jesus said this, one of the officials nearby slapped him in the face. "Is this the way you answer the high priest?" he demanded. Northangley, you got to see the irony here. Annas, the false high priest, orders that Jesus, our true high priest, is slapped in the face. Jesus, the one who did nothing wrong, is hit across the face. And you can imagine, if only Annas could see who it was that was actually standing before him. For Jesus is the servant from Isaiah, the son of David, the king of Israel, the son of God, the new Moses, the good shepherd, the Messiah, the prince of peace, the high priest, and the very temple himself. If Annas knew what he was doing, you can guarantee he would want a do-over. So Jesus is in the middle of this kangaroo court. Peter is outside denying him some more, gathered around a fire of burning coals. He denies Jesus a second time. And when it came to the third denial, we read the following, verses 26 to 27. One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, "Didn't I see you with him in the garden?" Again, Peter denied it. And at that moment, a rooster began to crow. At that moment, a rooster began to crow. Kids, some of you are familiar with this story. You remember the story of the rooster crowing. It's kind of an important moment. So here's what I need. If you're in grade five or six, I need two volunteers to come up on stage. Can I get two volunteers from grade five or six? Grade five or six, you want to come on up? Come on up. Okay, one more. Any other grade five or six? Just so you know, there is candy as a cake. Come on up. All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. I'm going to grab this microphone. Whoa. Okay, hi, friends. High five. High five. Okay, so introduce yourselves to everyone.
Hello, my name is Diego Belancora.
Well done. Well done, Diego. Okay, and you are?
Hello, my name is Sophie Wordall.
Sophie, awesome. So Diego and Sophie, can you give it up for them? All right, so Sophie, you can hold the mic. Okay, so now you guys, here's the deal. You're going to work together. You're going to work as a team. So I have one question for you. Around what time in the morning would you guess that the rooster crowed in the city of Jerusalem? Now, you don't have to answer just yet. Think about it. What time do you think this rooster was crowing? Now, I'm going to give you three facts, okay? Now, they may seem complicated, but they're actually fairly simple. So if you want, you can look at the screen, and I'm going to give you these three facts. Are you ready? Fact number one. According to National Geographic, Japanese researchers at Nagoya University found that roosters would start to crow 2 hours before the onset of light, which is called anticipatory pre-dawn crowing. 2 hours, okay? So that's a cute. You got that in your mind? You guys are smart. You're going to get this. Fact number two. According to theologian Andreas Kossenberger in his book, The Final Days of Jesus, he believes that Jesus died April 3rd. April 3rd, AD 33. Now, here's something interesting about April 3rd, which is our fact number three. According to timeanddate.com, the sun rises April 3rd at 6:25 a.m. in the city of Jerusalem. Okay, so the sun rises at 6:25. Roosters are supposed to crow 2 hours before then. Around what time in the morning would you guess that the rooster crowed in the city of Jerusalem? Do you guys want to consult? You want to do this as a team effort?
I think I know it.
Okay, what do you guys think?
Noon?
Okay. What about you? Sophie, do you have any idea?
425?
425? Yeah. So let's combine their answers and let's go with 425. You guys are awesome. Now here, come here. So just so you know, I'm turning off my mic.
Hold on. Okay, whichever you guys want. There's that one. I don't know what that one is. That's Cadbury. Okay, perfect. Cool. Awesome. Good job. High five. High five. Did awesome. Okay. And you can get this.
Okay, can we thank them again? They're amazing. All right, kids, give me your best rooster crow. Yes. Get it out now. Your parents don't want to hear it at 4:25 in the morning. All right, good job. Thank you, roosters. After denying Jesus three times around 4:25 a.m., Peter remembered the words Jesus had said to him long before this moment. Some of you will remember John 13. Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." Jesus had predicted this. He knew it was going to happen around 4:25 a.m. in the cold dark of Jerusalem on April 3rd, AD 33. Peter did not lay down his life for Jesus. Instead, he denied Jesus. He disowned Jesus three times, just as Jesus had predicted. Wouldn't you want a do-over at that point? Wouldn't you feel like hitting that undo button a whole bunch? You know, Peter was wishing that it was that easy. Command Z, and all of it would just go away. Now, is this the end of Peter's story? No, absolutely not. We're about to look at one more moment in Peter's life, but we're going to skip ahead. So here's the deal. One of the shortcomings we have in walking through a book of the Bible, verse by verse, is that sometimes we don't get a great overview. We don't hear it in one sitting. So if you were to make a coffee and sit down and start reading the Gospel of John, as you read it, you would, only a few minutes later, you'd see part two of our story, of the story we're reading today. So we just read part one, and I want to read for you part two. So just so you know, in John 19, Jesus is crucified. Jesus dies. In John 20, Jesus rises from the dead. And then in John 20 and 21, Jesus begins to appear to his followers alive. He starts appearing to people alive. And in John 21, I want you to listen to a moment where Jesus and Peter meet again. Here's the story. Peter has gone back to his old job. He's returned to fishing. I think he was bummed out. He knows Jesus is alive, but he denied Jesus 3 times, and maybe Jesus didn't want him anymore. Maybe Jesus was going to pick somebody else to lead the church. Maybe Jesus would look somewhere else for a new leader. So Peter goes back to fishing, and he and his buddies aren't catching anything. Suddenly, this mysterious guy shows up on the beach. And he starts yelling out to them. So they're in the fishing boat. And this guy from the beach starts yelling out to them. He's going, put your nets on the other side of the boat. Well, if you're a fisherman, you're going, that's crazy. It's like under the boat, it's the same water, right? So if I got my nets on this side, what does it matter if I put my net on this side? But they do it. And then when they do that, they bring in a ton of fish. They weren't catching anything, but now they're bringing in a ton of fish. And all of a sudden, they realize that this guy who's yelling from the shore is actually Jesus. And when Peter finds out that it's Jesus, he doesn't waste a moment. He jumps out of the fishing boat, and he starts just swimming for shore as fast as he could. He wants to be with Jesus. And here's what the Bible says in chapter 21, verse 9. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Fire burning coals. Just so you know, when you read the Bible, watch for details. People don't just insert details in there for no reason, right? The biblical authors, they have a reason. All of a sudden, there's a fire of burning coals on the beach. So there's Jesus, there's Peter, and there's a fire of burning coals. Kids, pop quiz. The Bible is written in 2 primary languages. The Old Testament was written in? Yell it out. Not Greek, it's the other one. Hebrew, I heard it over there. Hebrew. Awesome. Did somebody say Spanish? That's great. Español. So you know, if the Old Testament's written in Hebrew, the New Testament's written in? Greek. That's right, Greek. So the original readers of the Gospel of John were reading in the Greek language. And you need to know that the Greek word for a fire of burning coals is this word, anthrakia, or anthrakia. Okay? A heap of burning coals. And you need to know, in the entire New Testament, the word is only used 3 times. But in this particular form, it's only used 2x. And both of those are in the Gospel of John, in the 2 passages that we're reading today. This is not a coincidence. So in the whole book of John, there's only 2 times. Once when Peter denies Jesus 3 times, as he's warming his hands by a fire burning coals. And now once here in John 21, when Peter is going to be asked 3 times by Jesus if he loves him. Listen to this story. John 21, starting in verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The 3rd time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the 3rd time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. And then in verse 19, then he said to him, follow me. Follow me. In front of a fire of burning coals, Peter denies Jesus 3 times. In front of a fire of burning coals, Peter affirms his love 3 times and receives grace from Jesus 3 times. Has the sense of smell ever taken you back to a memory? You know, absolutely. Every one of us in the room could say yes to that. The sense of smell is powerful in that way. Absolutely powerful. If right now you took, you know, Dial soap, you know, orange Dial soap. If you just kind of put that on my hand and I start washing my hands, boom, it's 1998. I'm in the state of Missouri at a camp called Camp Barnabas. It's like time travel. Boom, I'm there, right? I smell that orange Dial soap and I'm back. And it's a good memory. It's not a bad memory. Sometimes we have bad memories, right, that are associated with smells, but it's a good memory. I remember the joy of that camp. Now, picture yourself in Peter's shoes. Find yourself in Peter's shoes. And you close your eyes and you say, okay, I want to imagine the smell of charcoal, a charcoal fire. When was the last time Peter smelled the charcoal fire? Do you remember what it smells like? Peter remembers. I'm sure that every time he smelled burning coals, he remembered the shame, the absolute shame. He probably wished that he could wipe the memory clean. But Jesus shows up on a beach and he makes a charcoal fire. Why? Because Jesus is the God of second chances. If you miss everything I'm saying today, hold on to this. Jesus is the God of second chances. He's giving Peter a second chance. This will be the healing of an open wound. The wound has not yet healed for Peter. It needs to be healed. He needs to experience the forgiveness of Jesus. He needs to know the grace of Jesus. You see, Peter has gone back to being Simon. Peter's gone back to fishing. Peter's walking away from his calling. But the God of second chances shows up on a beach and makes a charcoal fire for his friend. And he says, Peter, come over here. We're going to rewrite this story. Come here. Sit down. We're going to rewrite this thing. And then Jesus calls him back into relationship. And not just relationship, he calls him back into ministry. He says, I'm going to use you. Feed my sheep. Remember, I called you a shepherd, and I need you to feed my sheep. Come back. And Jesus is reminding Peter of a deeper love. He's calling Peter back into shepherding his church. And in the process, he's healing Peter. And he's saying, every time you smell the smell of burning coals, you need to smell grace. I want you to smell forgiveness. It should be the smell of reconciliation. Next time you're gathered around fire, burning coals, Peter, I want you to remember my love. Not those three denials, because that's not you. I want you to remember my love. And so, North Langley, today, Jesus brings us back. He brings us back to that familiar place. It's a place that we'd like to push away and not remember. But he brings us back to the moments we've had of regret. The place that fills us with shame. The very moment that we wish we could go back in time and hit the undo button. The very place where we want to do over. He brings us there. We don't like to go there, but he brings us there. He makes us a charcoal fire on the beach. And so if you feel comfortable, I'm going to invite you to close your eyes. If you feel comfortable. And I want you to picture that place, that mistake. Picture that moment that you regret. And as you think about that moment, I want you to know two things. Jesus was there and is here. He is with you. And you can picture Jesus looking right at you, and he offers you his grace. And he's going to ask you this question. Do you love me? I know exactly what you did. Do you love me? Do you love me? Then follow me. Join me in a new life. I forgive you. I've died for you at the cross. I rose again so that you might have life. So you need to know that I have all the power in heaven and on earth to redeem your story. for I'm the God of second chances and third chances and fourth and fifth and sixth and seventh and eighth. And hovering around the charcoal fire of your life, I believe Jesus, the God of second chances, looks you in the eye and says, welcome back. Welcome back to who I made you to be. Welcome back to the very name that I gave you. Welcome back to the role that I've called you to. Welcome back to my love. Welcome back. You've wondered if you could ever come back, but I'm welcoming you back, so trust it. And as we're still with Jesus, I believe he says this to us. He says, there's still work to do. You have a role to play in my kingdom. So dust off your skates. Dust off that glove. Dust off those running shoes. Grab your tools. Grab your fishing rod. There's work to do in the kingdom of God. You have a role to play. I am calling you again. And you need to hear and know this, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So receive the gift. North Langley, could today be your beach scene? Could today be the moment Jesus rewrites your story? In that place of deepest shame, regret, betrayal, offense, and mistake, hear Jesus welcome you back into a relationship with himself. And final thing, open your ears. And hear the good shepherd say to you, follow me. Follow me. Can we stand together? I'm going to invite the worship team to come out. And will you pray with me? Jesus, we don't want to go there in our minds. A lot of these stories, Jesus, you know what we've done with them. We buried them. We pushed them away. We remember the smell of that charcoal fire where we denied you, where we made a mistake, where we hurt someone else, where we broke something. We broke it. We destroyed it somehow. And Jesus, it's so painful, but today we receive the beach scene. Jesus, today we receive your grace anew, and we see as we're standing on that fishing boat that you have made a fire for us. And so we dive out of the fishing boat and we want to swim towards you. And we need you. And we hear your call again. God, I want to lift up those in the room who have felt like they can't serve you because of a mistake they've made. They can't feel free to minister because of some decision that they made in their past. God, I pray that you would free them, that today would be a beach scene type of day, that they'd gather around that charcoal fire and that they'd hear once again, follow me, follow me. And Lord, that you would use them in powerful ways, in grace-filled ways. Holy Spirit, remind us of the love of the Father as we sing, as we lift up your name. Remind us of who we are and the name that you have given us, not our old name. Because Jesus, we're calling ourselves our old name. We're living our old life constantly. We're forgetting who we are. And we pray that you would remind us of our new name, the name you've given us and the work you've called us to. And so we offer out our life as broken and sinful as it is. And we thank you that you can use us for your glory and for your honor. Would you come and use us in a powerful way? We thank you. Amen.